Well, please turn with me to our text for this evening's exhortation from Psalm 8. Psalm 8. Now, we have been studying the Psalms again. This is our second time. This is not intended to be an exhaustive study of the Psalms, but it's intended to be a Christological study of the Psalms. We hope to show that every psalm is messianic, and therefore every psalm may be sung by God's children with an eye on the Lord Jesus, a recognition that what applies to our Lord applies to us who are united to Him. Now this evening we'll come to Psalm 8. To the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm of David. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and a son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowls of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Amen. Now Psalm 8 is a very popular psalm, especially popular with the children. Often when you ask the children if they want to choose a psalm to sing, they'll choose Psalm 8. Now when you first read this psalm, it will not appear to you as a messianic psalm. It appears to be a psalm about the preeminence of man compared to the rest of creation. You may even wonder if it has anything at all to do with Christ. Indeed, I believe that many commentators would also dispute that it is a messianic psalm, were it not for the fact that the New Testament makes it very clear that this is a messianic psalm. Now we'll see how this is the case shortly. But for now, let us understand that this psalm is a psalm of praise. Notice how this psalm begins and ends with the same words. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. In verse 1. And again in verse 9. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. This opening and closing statement is the thesis of this psalm. The word excellent speaks of greatness, majesty and glory. If God's name is great, majestic and glorious, then it is a name to be praised. This psalm is therefore a psalm of praise. The reasons why we should praise the Lord are sandwiched between these two verses, the opening and closing verses. But what are the reasons we should praise according to this psalm? Well, we may enumerate three reasons. First, we must praise the Lord because He has ordained praise out of the mouths of babes and sucklings. Verse 1 to 2. Secondly, we must praise the Lord because He has made the vast, vast universe. Verse 3. And thirdly, we must praise the Lord because He has exalted man to a position of honor in Christ. verse 4 to verse 9. These then are the three reasons. First, he has ordained praise out of the mouths of babes and sucklings. Verse 1 again. Who thou hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. The Lord has set his glory above the heavens. What does that mean? This means that he is infinitely more glorious and excellent than the heavens and its inhabitants. The noblest of creatures and those that shine most brightly in heaven cannot be compared to the Lord. So great is the glory of God that even babes and infants praise him. It is one thing to have the highest angels praise the Lord. It is quite another thing to have lowly babes and infants praise him. Which is more glorious? To have babes and infants praise him, or to have the mighty angels praise him? I submit to you that it's more glorious to have babes and infants praise him. Why? Because the angels were made to recognize glory, whereas infants must grow to understand glory. An accomplished musician can draw much applause by playing a very beautiful piece of music on his highly tuned and polished violin. But if a poor beggar boy walks in onto stage and he plays the same piece of music on his fiddler, he would no doubt draw a far greater applause, especially from those who understand the significance of what is going on. So God has not only ordained the angels to praise his name, but also infants and sucklings. He would especially use infants and sucklings to praise him when his enemies rise up against his son like a flood. You remember how our Lord referred to this verse? He had entered Jerusalem for the last time, sitting on the coat of an ass. The multitude cried out, "Hosanna to the Son of David!" Then when he entered the temple, the children cried the same thing, "Hosanna to the Son of David." When the chief priests and scribes complained to our Lord about it, what did he say? He said, "Yea, have ye never read, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise?" Our Lord, you must realize, was citing Psalm 8 verse 2. So great is God's glorious condescension that he would choose to use not the voice of angels but the voice of babes and sucklings of fallen man to silence his enemies. The praises of babes and sucklings ought to silence the enemies of the Lord with shame. The praises of the babes and sucklings ought also to stir up our hearts to praise the Lord more enthusiastically. You know, there are times when I feel very tired, whether bodily or spiritually, and I do not feel like lifting up my voice to praise the Lord. But when I hear the children praising the Lord loudly, enthusiastically, even if it's out of tune, it just lifts my spirit. And I find that I cannot but just join them to praise, even if it's out of tune, to praise the Lord enthusiastically. The Lord has ordained praise out of the lips of babes and infants. Thus, beloved brethren, take the cue from our children. I know so often when we come for prayer meeting after a long, long day's work, we are so tired. And when we sing, it's like we are falling asleep. But let us take the cue from babes and sucklings as they praise the Lord. But secondly, we should also praise the Lord, for He has made the vast universe. Verse 3 reads, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy finger, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained." The psalmist continues with, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" What is he saying? What he's saying essentially, when I look up to the night sky and behold the glory of the sun and the moon, I cannot but wonder, Lord, why you pay attention to man when we are such puny, worthless creatures. Herein then are two reasons to praise the Lord. The first is God's greatness as displayed in the vast universe of His creation. And the second is God's condescension towards man in caring for him. We'll look at the second reason in our next point. But do you not see how when we look up into the night sky and see the glorious heavens with all the stars, that we cannot but lift up our hearts to praise the Lord? The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork, says the psalmist in Psalm 19. The psalmist is looking at the heavens. It was no doubt a clear, cloudless day. The moon was shining full bright. The myriad of stars had come out in full force. Must have been an awesome sight. Something that you can hardly see in Singapore because of light pollution. But the psalmist was overwhelmed by its glory and beauty. "How great thou art," he must have exclaimed as he looked at the stars. Have you not had similar experience, brethren and children? Have you not had similar experience when you look at the stars and you feel yourself so awed by the greatness of God? Or if you have not, you must go camping. You must ask your daddy to bring you camping. Not in the city, but somewhere out of the city. Go Pulau Ubin or somewhere in Malaysia where there's darkness and you can see the stars. When you see the stars, night, clear night, and you look at how great the universe is, it just simply stir your heart to praise the Lord. Not only must we praise the Lord when we behold the beauty of God's creation, the heavens, but it simply stirs our hearts. We cannot help but praise the Lord when we see such glorious creation of the Lord. When you feel down and you feel that life has become a drab and very dreary, take a night out. Go look and see how great the Lord is when He has created such a vast universe. You know that the number of stars known to humans is more than the number of grains of sand in all the earth. That's how vast the universe is. This then is the second reason in this psalm why we must praise the Lord. We must praise Him. No, we are lifted up to praise Him when we consider God's glorious creation, when we look up to the heavens and see how great He is who has created such a vast universe for puny creatures like you and I. Finally, the third reason why we must praise the Lord is that He has exalted man to a position of honor in Christ. Verse 4. "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and beasts of the field, and the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. Now when you look at this verse, the first impression you may get is the psalmist is talking about how God has shown favor to man and has exalted him to a position of honor over the rest of creation. Man is made a little lower than the angels, and unto man is committed the dominion over all the creatures God has made, whether they be animals that live on land, or birds, or sea creatures, or fishes. Well, in a certain sense, this is true. But this is not the whole truth. For the inspired commentary of this psalm in the New Testament teaches us that this psalm is not about man in general, but about the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, keep your fingers at Psalm 8 and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Look at verse 6. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 6. The one in a certain place testified, saying, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet." You recognize that? This is a quotation from Psalm 8, verse 4 to verse 5, where we continue in our reading. "For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him," that is under man, "but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." Now, what is the apostle saying? He's saying, essentially, when you read Psalm 8, you may think that the Son of Man there refers to man in general. And you may think that God has put all things in creation under subjection to mankind. But do you not see? It has not happened. God has not put all things under mankind. Neither has he crowned mankind with glory and honor. On the other hand, you will see how the Lord Jesus Christ fits into the description of the Son of Man in Psalm 8 verse 4, like a hand in a glove. Look at verse 9 of Hebrews 2. "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." The point is clear, isn't it? Psalm 8 is not really about the preeminence of mankind. It is rather about the preeminence of the Son of Man. Christ was made a little lower than the angels in that he took on human flesh in order to suffer and die for us. But now he's resurrected, raised up on high, crowned with glory and honor. The title, "The Son of Man," was Christ's favorite self-designation. It occurs 81 times in the Gospels, and every time it is used by our Lord to refer to himself. By comparison, the title "Son of God" occurs only 28 times, and Christ used it to describe himself only 5 times. The title "Son of Man" clearly refers to Christ, even in Psalm 8. It does not always refer to Christ in the Old Testament, by the way. but in this psalm it is clearly about him. This psalm speaks of the dominion or kingship of Christ over all creation. The psalmist speaks of sheep and oxen in the farms, the wild animals in the fields and forests, the birds in the air, the fish and all the marine creatures. The Lord rules over all these things, but it's clear that this is not an exhaustive list. It's simply that he is quoting or reiterating from Genesis chapter 1. The fact is, the dominion of Christ is without bounds. But what has this got to do with us, that we should praise the Lord for this reason? What he has to do with us? Everything to do with us, because Christ is given dominion over all creation, not for himself, but for us. Look at Hebrews chapter 2 verse 9 again. The apostle is commenting on verse 4 and verse 5 of our text. He says, "But we see Jesus was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man." See the purpose? Why was he made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death? Why was he exalted to be king over all things? That's for the sake of man. Christ the God-man is the king that God crowned for man. But he is a king like no other. He was a suffering king. He was made a little lower than the angels, specifically so that he might suffer and die in order to pay for the penalty due to his people. He came for his people. He came to lay down his life for every one of his sheep and lambs. He came to suffer and die for us. But he came not only to lay down his life for us. He came as our king. The psalmist say, back in our text in verse 6, "Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things under his feet." Why is Christ given dominion over all creation? It is for the church. And the apostle Paul makes this even more clear in Ephesians. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 1 rather, chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22. And God has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things. See the word there, too? That is for. Okay, the meaning there is for the church. Right? God has put all things under him, put all things under his dominion, so that he may be Lord over the church, so that he may rule all things on behalf of the church, for the church's sake. Christ has been given dominion over all things spiritual and material for the sake of his church. In other words, Christ the God-man has been appointed by God to be the administrator of all things in the universe for the good of his church. Unto Christ has been committed the rule of the entire universe. Christ our Lord is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven. The writer of Hebrews tells us that Christ has been appointed heir of all things and is upholding all things in the entire universe by the word of his power. What is man that God should be mindful of us? that He sent Christ Jesus to take on our flesh, to be one of us, to live for us, suffer for us, die for us, and then to be exalted to rule over the entire universe for us. What is man that we should have such great privilege? Is this not a good reason to praise the Lord? O Lord, O Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. Our dearly beloved brethren and children, let us be reminded to praise the Lord. In our daily struggles, in all our changing scenes of life, the difficulties that we face, let us learn to turn our eyes to the Lord, to praise Him. Children, you must praise the Lord very enthusiastically. You of all men have the least troubles. You must learn to praise the Lord, because the Lord has ordained praise in your lips. When you hear your mummies and daddies and your uncles and aunties not praising the Lord as they should, they're mumbling when they sing, you must sing out very loudly. The Lord has ordained that you should put the enemies of God to shame and to stir up the hearts of your mummies and daddies and uncles and aunties, that they may praise the Lord. And brethren, we too must praise Him. Let us take the cue from our children. And let us also take the cue from the book of nature. God has, as it were, written three books. What are they? The book of Revelation, the Bible. The book of Providence. And the book of nature. Psalm 8 leads us to look at the book of nature. This book reminds us of the greatness, power, and wisdom of God. Shall we not learn to read this book? Shall we not often make use of every opportunity we have to read this book? Let us not neglect this book, but look at it, that our hearts may be lifted up. When you feel down, when you feel that the world is crashing around you, when you think that you are in the center of the world and you find that you are really, everything is just not right, go out to the open, look at God's vast creation, and see how small you are. And yet how the Lord cares for you. And lift up your hearts and praise the Lord. But most of all, let us praise the Lord for His wondrous grace in sending Christ Jesus, our Lord, to take on our flesh, to suffer for us, to die for us, and to be our King. Praise the Lord for our King. He's not only a great ruler, no ruler upholds the world by the word of His power. Christ our Lord upholds the world by the word of His power. Nothing happens except by His command. Nothing happens except by His sovereign power. And yet, He's a compassionate ruler. He is kind, He is understanding. He rules with the best interests of you and I, because He's one of us. He is the Son of Man. Thank God that we have such a King to rule on our behalf. Amen. Well, shall we sing this song? Psalm 8. Sing the rich man. Psalm 8, I think we will sing just verse 1 to verse 4.